We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This time last summer, we all knew, or at least felt pretty confident, in one thing. Once the summer of 2021 rolled around, a big storyline for Michigan men's basketball would most likely be, how will the Wolverines replace Franz Wagner and Isaiah Livers? At that point, we did not know just how much Michigan would miss having the likes of Mike Smith or Sean D. Brown Jr., a couple of one-year transfers who were outstanding for the Maize and Blue. And of course, Austin Davis, you think about C.J. Baird, Luke Wilson, there are plenty of guys that we knew Michigan would have some sort of loss in not having them around anymore. But when it came to Isaiah and Franz, the writing was on the wall in terms of their timeline in Ann Arbor. We all figured that 2020, 2021 would be the final season with those two in the Maize and Blue. And we all knew definitively one summer ago that they were great, great college basketball players, vital to Michigan's success. On Thursday night, Franz will, and Isaiah sure as heck should, hear their names called in the NBA draft. So, who's next? That's the question almost every college basketball program has to ask this time of year. And great programs tend to answer really well this time of year and beyond. The prime candidate to make up for no Franz and no Isaiah is our guest today, Caleb Houston. He's a top 10 recruit nationally, this program's highest ranked recruit in almost a decade, and he just led Team Canada to its second World Cup medal ever in the under-19 tournament a few weeks back. In other words, yeah, he's the real deal. Now, of course, rankings mean nothing once the ball is tipped in November and as the season progresses, but when we talk about things that we feel pretty confident in knowing a year down the road, I've got one for you that we'll establish now that we'll look back on 365 days from now. Caleb Houston will be a critical piece to how the 2021-2022 Michigan Wolverines puzzle plays out. Whether that's good or bad, we don't know. But because of Caleb Houston's position, because of the departures of last year's team, Houston will have a heck of a say on what Michigan will do this season, and there's a ton of reason for optimism because of that, no matter how much Michigan will indeed miss Franz and Isaiah. It's time to start getting to know the incoming freshman. First up here today, it is Caleb Houston. We talked to him on this week's edition of Defend the Block.
We're talking Michigan basketball. Welcome to Defend the Block, where we'll take you inside the basketball programs with interviews, analysis, and so much more. Now, here's your host, Brian Bush.
The best recruiting class in college basketball. We will introduce you to the six members of that group here over the next month or so on Defend the Block. Caleb Houston is first up. Can't wait to share that conversation with you here momentarily. But first, we talked a little bit about the NBA draft that comes up on Thursday night. Franz Wagner and Isaiah Livers. Again, Franz will be drafted. I think he'll be a lottery pick. Isaiah should be drafted. There would have been really no doubt had he not gotten the injury that he suffered late last season, but I still do expect to hear his name called. Mike Smith, Sean D. Brown Jr., based on most prognosticators, it does look like they will have to try to find their way into the NBA through an undrafted process, which, hey, Michigan fans know as well as anybody in college basketball that that can work out just fine. Duncan Robinson is a highly coveted man at this point in the NBA. But at this point, with, as this podcast comes out, less than 48 hours before the NBA draft, it's tough to really glean a whole lot of real observations, takeaways, news from reporting at this point. It's a lot of smoke screens. There's a lot of rumors. Who knows what you can believe and what you can't? We'll get all those answers coming up on Thursday night. But I did want to take a couple of minutes and talk about each of those four guys who are Michigan's next wave into, we hope, the NBA for all four of them. First, for Franz, there are a few things that really stand out about him, and we had a great conversation with him back a few weeks ago. It's still very pertinent to what he's getting ready for and how he is getting set to get into the NBA. I've mentioned on this podcast before about that first conversation, the first media scrum that Phil Martelli, the associate head coach, had that media day before the first year of the Juwan Howard era here in Ann Arbor as the head coach. And the word savant was used by Phil Martelli. And Coach Martelli has been around for a long time. His words carry weight. He has seen a lot of basketball players. And for him, before Franz Wagner had played a game of college basketball, used that term and did it in a way where he was kind of saying, listen, I know that kind of sounds crazy, but you have to see it. And that right there kind of gave you the indication of, okay, Coach Martelli's not a coach speak kind of a guy in most cases. So there's some oomph behind that. And then Franz suffered the injury. He had about a month to get back. And, well, Franz was thrust right into duty in the battle for Atlantis. He played a ton, and it took him a little while to kind of get going. But I always wonder, that Purdue game at Mackey Arena in mid to late February of 2020, that sparked a close to the season for Franz that I still really wonder what he and that team as a whole, with NCAA tournament veterans like Xavier Simpson and John Teske, I wonder what that team, and in particular, what Franz could have done on that stage, because he was a maestro inside Mackey Arena, one of the toughest places to play in the Big Ten in college basketball. And that started something that had an incomplete ending. There are so many stories that had incomplete endings, both in Ann Arbor and throughout college basketball in that 2020 season. I always wonder, and of course Franz had some incredible moments this past season, that game against Florida State where he versus Scotty Barnes, which is going to be a very common topic when Franz is selected, whenever that happens on Thursday night. Regardless, really excited about that and excited about what we will see from Franz in the NBA. For Isaiah, what more can you say about this young man? He came back for one more season. He embraced the role of being a person for change. He embraced the opportunity to put his name behind things that he really believed in, whether it was taking a knee before games during the national anthem. I encourage you, if you didn't listen back during the season, Isaiah, Saadi Washington, Naz Hillman, and Akenray Johnson, they did a roundtable here on the podcast just breaking down their emotions, their feelings of everything that has happened with this racial movement in recent months and really now into years at this point, as we have seen all of that really develop in real time. And Isaiah was willing and able to be on the forefront of that. There's plenty to talk about with his basketball side, and there are a ton of memories from the freshman year where he's on that national championship game team to where he really took over as kind of the face of this program. But it's the stuff off the court that I think I'll remember the most, how much he meant to the state, how much he meant to Kalamazoo, how he became, you know, an adopted son of Ann Arbor. It's really special to watch. Sean D, again, I think based on all accounts, all prognostication, he's probably going to have to find his way through a summer league opportunity, maybe the G League, go the undrafted route. But in the NBA, 3-and-D guys who play as hard as Sean D. Brown Jr. can, if they're put in the right situation and they stay healthy, they can make an impact. They can stick around in this league. And I really loved how much Sean D. embraced winning. Winning looked really good on that young man. And Mike Smith, who I'll get to in a minute. But Sean D. had no problem coming off the bench, had no problem just going from gas tank full to gas tank empty and coming out of the game. He was a spark plug for this program. And again, I don't know what his NBA future might look like, but he's got the right approach. I think he's got the right intangibles, the tools. Just a matter of if it all comes together for him. And Mike Smith, same thing on the winning side, but I'll just say, when you think about recent Michigan basketball success and Michigan basketball postseason success, you look at that point guard position. You look just really at guards overall, right? But you go from Trey Burke to Derek Walton to Xavier Simpson, and some of the greatest postseason performances in this program's history belong to those three men. And Mike Smith, in his first postseason game, statistically, and in my opinion, just in terms of controlling the game, that quarterfinal against Maryland, I don't know if there was one better. You could argue, no doubt. I'm not going to say, there's no point in arguing, oh, well, which one was better, this or that. But even the fact that Mike Smith, in his debut on that stage, put himself in the conversation, it's still, to me, the most remarkable thing that I've seen from a grad transfer. It just doesn't happen. That's not how it's supposed to work. Grad transfers, historically, by stats, by research, it doesn't normally work out. And Mike Smith was as important to that team last year as anybody. And that one game, considering the acts that he had to follow for Michigan at the guard position in the postseason, it's remarkable. And that will be a game and a performance that I will never, ever forget. So good luck to Franz. Good luck to Isaiah. Good luck to Sean D. Good luck to Mike. I'm hopeful that all four of them have great careers. And I mean, they're great ambassadors to this program, to this area, to this region, to this university. So we wish them absolutely nothing but the best. But as we talked about off the top, who's next? That's the question now that Michigan has to answer. And with the way that Coach Howard and his staff are recruiting, that question might be a more frequent ask in coming years. It's going to be asked about several spots this coming season, nowhere more than that wing spot. And Caleb Houston is the natural first man up, the natural fit. He's a great young man. Really enjoyed this conversation. I think you will too.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Well, Well, our series of getting to know Michigan men's basketball freshmen begins with Caleb Houston, the last arriver to Ann Arbor. Caleb, appreciate you joining us. You've been in Ann Arbor for not too long at this point, just a week or so. What's it been like so far, and how have you gotten acclimated?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been great. I don't really have no complaints or nothing. My teammates and the coaches, the staff, they've been helping me kind of just get used to it and kind of move in and stuff like that. So it's been a smooth adjustment at that point. And yeah, it's been great. Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
It's been a wild few months. I want to talk a little bit about that with you. Let's start with the most recent situation, the Under-19 World Cup. You and Team Canada with a bronze medal, just the second time in Canada's history to win that. Take me through that moment of winning the bronze, of that whole tournament. What was it like, and how can you use that to help you moving forward?
Yeah, I think it was obviously big, like you said, the second time that Canada's ever won bronze. I think it was just great to play with all those guys that I've been playing with since I was younger, and a lot of new guys. There's also a lot of new guys, yeah. But it was just great to represent my country. I think we all did well as a whole. I think just using that just to bring, like, they already have a winning culture here, but just to bring, like, even more, and, like, obviously my knowledge of, like, the international game, I think I could bring that as well to Michigan, and just a winning mentality.
How have you seen the game of basketball grow in Canada? We all know it's hockey first, of course, but how have you seen basketball grow over the years as you were growing up?
Yeah, I've seen it grow a lot. You know, at first it was just, like, one or two guys here, like it would just be like Andrew Wiggins or Anthony Bennett. But now we got, like, we could, if everybody showed up, have a full team of all NBA players for the Olympics or something like that. So I think it's grown immensely. And I think that has to do with the coaches and the training that the kids are getting, like the whole pipeline. So it's kind of working its way up, but it's grown immensely. And I think it's only up from here.
You played with Zach Edey of Purdue, such a menacing presence on the inside. Curious, what is it like on the positive side to have him on your side? And I mean, we all know there's going to be some good Michigan-Purdue matchups. What does he cause troubles when you're having to go up against him?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you're playing with him, I think it's great. You know, he obviously controls the paint. You can kind of press your man maybe a little bit more because you can get into him. And if he gets a little bit by you, he's going to be there. Obviously, and he's going to have to go over a guy who's 7'4", which is not easy. And he obviously rebounds everything. He can score pretty well. I was really impressed with his ability to score in the tournament, in the post and stuff like that. But, yeah, when we play him, obviously he's a really good player. I think he's going to get his because he's huge and all that stuff. But, yeah, it should be exciting, fun matchup. Yeah.
So in terms of the World Cup, in terms of some of the other opportunities you've had in your prep career, you've kind of ebbed and flowed with your role, with where you've played, stuff along those lines. How has all of that kind of helped you prepare for college, in that your teammates change pretty frequently,
yeah.
your environment changes pretty frequently, sometimes your on-court role with your team changes frequently.
Yeah.
How has that helped knowing when you come into college, I mean, you've got to earn your keep, and you might have a different role here than you did for Team Canada or somewhere else?
Yeah, I think that helps a lot, to be honest. As, like you said, I think I've been on teams where obviously, like, I've been the guy, or I've been one of the guys, or I've had a more of a smaller role, a bigger role, stuff like that, like a leadership role, obviously different things, played with people who are better than me and all that type of stuff. So I think it makes me, like, versatile, and I'm ready for really any situation, and that, like, I think I'm mature, and I can, you know what I mean, I can, like, take advice and how to improve my game and what the team needs and stuff like that. So I think it definitely makes me versatile and ready to come into different situations that other people might not be able to.
Let's talk about fit, and, mm-hmm. and not just within Michigan. I do want to get into that, but also you reclassified.
Mm-hmm.
Why was the fit of coming into school a year early mm-hmm. best for you, and what went into that process for you?
Yeah, I think just talking with my parents, it was really a conversation between me and my parents. And I think I just felt that was education-wise, I had all my school and stuff lined up, so if I wanted to make the decision, I could. And I just felt like, I think a big part of that was probably Montverde, just being there for 3 years. That really, that really helped me a lot in terms of playing against older, bigger guys. And they kind of have like a college type vibe to it where they use a lot of the same concepts and it's very structured and all that. We travel around national schedule, all that stuff. So I think that's probably the biggest thing, just growing my game and also like mentally, it's becoming more mature. And I think that's like one of the big reasons why I decided to reclassify. Mm-hmm.
We talked to Zeb, who also went through Montverde. I know you know him well.
Yeah.
And he said that the practices probably challenged him more than the games. Well, what are practices there like? Because that is, I mean, that's in essence a McDonald's All-American game at times, isn't it?
Yeah. No, he's 100% right. The practices were always harder than the games. I feel like KB, he really knows, obviously he really knows his stuff. And he really, I think the big thing about him is he really gets players to play hard. So in practice, everyone's going hard, and obviously everyone there is really good. So everyone's fighting for a spot, because if you don't perform well for a couple practices, a couple games, and your spot could get taken from you no matter who you are, you know what I mean? Because there's so many good people. So I think, the practices were crazy.
I mean, comparable to what you – I know it's very early and you're not into the official practice yet, but comparable to what you've experienced here? I mean, there's a lot of talent here as well.
No, yeah, for sure, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of talent here.
So – I want to talk to you about what on the floor really seemed to fit with your commitment to Michigan. What did you see from watching a Coach Howard system, not just in your commitment process, but also over the last year since you did verbal? What is it about Coach Howard's system and Michigan as a whole that, that felt like, yes, on the floor, I feel like I fit this puzzle?
You're talking about basketball-wise. I think the way they play is like they have a – just as a whole, like they have it just as a whole, I really like their offense from their point guards, guards to their wings to their big men. I think it was a very, I don't know how to say it, but like a very solid team all the way through. They didn't just heavily rely on one position or one kind of, you know what I mean? They had outside scoring, they had inside scoring. I think they scored in a variety of different ways. And I think for me, like personally, seeing what guys like Franz and Isaiah Livers did, I think when I was making my decision, I definitely could see myself in that type of role and making plays similar to what they did, as well as the way they shot the ball. I think that can definitely translate for me too. The threes that they got up and in transition and coming off different screens, that was a big thing that I saw when I saw the film and I was watching the games, that I said, yeah, I could definitely do that. Really outside of basketball, it's really the family part for me. Like, they really made it seem like it was a family, and that's a big thing to me. That was probably like the biggest thing outside of the basketball part, and they just, out of everybody, they made me feel the most comfortable.
You mentioned Franz and Isaiah, and in watching some of your film from high school and from when you were playing with Team Canada, I can see some of that from some of Franz's game, some of Isaiah's game. I know comparisons are uncomfortable. I'm not asking you to do that, but what from their game, what from their style have you learned? And are there others that you've watched, whether it's in the NBA or in college or internationally, where when you watch them, you say, yeah, I can take a lot from that and apply it maybe to my own game?
Yeah, I think with Isaiah, I just think I like the way he scored and the way he shot the ball, attacked the rim, stuff like that. And I think Franz, obviously like a real good two-way player, can defend really well. And I really saw how he attack the closeouts real hard to get by his man and get downhill and go to the rim. And yeah, so those are probably the big things for them too. And you said an NBA player?
Yeah, are there, when you're watching the league, when you're watching college, or when you're watching international ball, who are guys that you see where you can take a lot from them while watching them?
Yeah, guys who I take a lot from, probably guys like Chris Middleton, Jason Tatum, Klay Thompson. I think those are like the three. I've been watching a lot of Devin Booker recently too.
Sure.
But I'll say definitely Jason Tatum, Chris Middleton, and Klay Thompson is who I try to take bits and pieces from and try to add to my game.
Tell Michigan fans what they can expect from you in terms of being a teammate, in terms of being a member of this program, and about your game. What do you think people are going to see when they watch you for the first time in a Michigan uniform come November?
Yeah, outside of basketball, I think I'm just a cool guy. You know, I think I'm quiet in the beginning, but once you get to know me, then I kind of break out of my shell a little bit. I just think I'm a good person. Good teammate. I think I'm encouraging. I think I'm a good leader. I think I lead by example by trying to do the right things to help the team. And yeah, basketball wise, I just think you could expect someone that is going to come in every day, work as hard as they can, go as hard as they can, give it 100% every day, and I think just make the right play for the team. I think I can score for myself. I think I can make plays for my teammates, and I think I can defend. So I think just doing the right thing for the team, I think that's the biggest thing that I bring towards the team.
When you get to this level, of mm-hmm. course, there's a lot that you are really refined in, mm-hmm. and you have a great skill set, mm-hmm. but you're not a finished product. Mm-hmm. So what are the things that you're really locked in on mm-hmm. between now and the opener to try to mm-hmm. get better? Is it acclimating to the college game? Mm-hmm. Is there a certain aspect of your game that you're really trying to zero in on? What do you need to improve on between now and November?
Definitely. I think outside of basketball is just continuing the weight room, getting stronger, faster, more explosive, and Sandman helping me with that type stuff. And on the court, I think just really smoothing out my handle, as well as working on my creating off the dribble into a shot. That's probably the three things with the weight room, creating my own shot, and working on my handle a little more.
Mm-hmm. A few off the beaten path questions before mm-hmm. we let you go.
Yeah.
You're from Canada. What do you miss most about Canada?
That's a good question. I don't even know. Probably my family. Sure. Really, that's got to be the biggest thing. My family. They left a couple of days ago, but I know once we really get into things, I'm definitely gonna miss them. But they're gonna be coming down. It's only like a 3.5-hour drive. So they're going to come down to visit me, but definitely I'm going to miss them.
Well, fortunately, I know the border's starting to open up,
They helpful. Just said something about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So over the last 16 months or so, mm-hmm. I mean, how much did you get to see them? What was that like?
I didn't see them as frequently as I would be able to. It's because like going back and forth to Florida wasn't easy. But I was able to see them for a good amount before I came here. I think we were together for like 3.5-4 months straight.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so that was really big before we came here. That made it a lot easier to transition over here.
I bet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Throw out nutrition and health. Yeah. You get a cheat meal. Yeah. You get to go to town. What's on Caleb Houston's plate when there's no remorse?
Cheat meal. I don't know. I'm generally a healthy person, to be honest with
you. All right.
Cheat meal, probably just like some sort of like breakfast place and like pancakes with like chocolate chips, all that different stuff, whipped cream, everything.
All right.
Yeah, probably
get
yeah.
after it. There you go. Yeah. Favorite sport other than basketball?
I don't know. I feel like it's a tie between soccer and football. Okay. One or two. Yeah.
Which one were you better at? Did you play both?
Yeah, I played soccer. Growing up, I was definitely better at soccer. I didn't play any football, but I was decent at soccer.
Did you ever try hockey?
No, I did not.
Can you skate?
No, my parents had got me and my brother to skate, but it just didn't happen. That was not going to work.
At least you gave it a shot.
Yeah,
that's
I
good.
Feel like we were too big to be skating.
Take out your family. Uh-huh. Three people, dead or alive, you would like to have dinner with?
Kobe. Kobe, MJ, and Denzel Washington.
Boy.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I like mm-hmm. that one. The last one I'll ask you mm-hmm. is just, you played for a year mm-hmm. and a half with basically no fans, right?
Yeah.
Or, and if there were, they were spread out.
Yeah.
What are you most looking forward to if, fingers crossed, mm-hmm. we get back mm-hmm. to normal crowds and Chrysler Center? I mean, what will that be like? Have you taken your mind to that yet?
To be honest, I haven't even thought of that, but just seeing all the pictures on the wall of the stadiums filled, I think it's gonna be surreal. I didn't take no visits, so I've never really been to a game, you know what I mean? Any game of NCAA basketball. So I think it's gonna be crazy, definitely for the first time.
So you've never been to a college basketball
game? Yeah, no.
Wow.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy for the first time. With all the people in the stands and everyone going crazy. So I'm definitely excited. Yeah.
Wow. Real excited. That's crazy. Yeah. That's quite a trivia fact. Caleb, appreciate you joining us. Good to meet you in person. Really looking forward to watching you play this year.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And aside, by the way, that was the first in-person interview that I've done with a member of the Michigan men's basketball program since the morning of the Big Ten tournament second round game scheduled between Michigan and Rutgers in March of 2020. To say I was excited, to say I was thankful, would be an understatement. That was really cool to get to visit with Caleb Houston after some of the individual work that the team has been doing inside Chrysler Center. I'm looking forward to getting into practice here sooner rather than later once it is a more formal practice when I'm allowed in. But what a joy to talk with Caleb. Next week, we will have Musa Diabate, another really impressive young man, both on and off the floor. So I can't wait to bring that to you. Thanks to Tom Weirot for his help in organizing the conversations with these young men. And thanks to all of you for tuning in. We will continue to bring you these incoming freshmen, their stories, their backgrounds, what they're working on, and how they're acclimating to Ann Arbor. So next week, Musa Diabate from the men's team. We'll also have Maddie Nolan, soon to be junior for Michigan women's basketball. We talked to Emily Kaiser last week, another Indiana-born Wolverine. We'll talk about that as well. But can't wait to bring that to you. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. Coming up on Thursday, In the Trenches, the football game-by-game preview is finished with Ohio State. We talk about it all. We talk through the struggles. We talk through the rivalry. Talk about what Michigan needs to do to beat Ohio State. We'll also have Paul Keels, who is excellent as their play-by-play voice, to talk about the Buckeyes and what he sees from them, their quarterback situation, and both sides of the football to see what his observations are getting set for the season. That's it for me, Brian Bush. Enjoy the NBA draft on Thursday night. Enjoy In the Trenches coming up on Thursday as well. And we'll talk to you again next week. Thanks so much for listening, and go Blue.
Thanks for listening to today's edition of Defend the Block, part of our Michigan Athletics Podcast Network. M-Go Blue Podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.